Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist.
This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
We are dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Very tired. I've worked, God, I don't know how many hours I've worked. Last 3 days, I've worked 15-hour days.
Yeah.
And Monday, I worked a 12-hour day. So it's been insane.
Background life is the worst.
You know,
it's fun, but it's also, the hours get to you. Like, it's easy work. But the hours are like...
But you know what? It's not even that easy. Like, that would be, like, something that I feel like is underrated is background. Background actors and acting in general. Because I'm like, yeah. The hours are super long. You never know how many hours you're going to be doing. You don't know if you're going to be standing outside in the cold. And then for me, like, I have rashes on my neck from the wardrobe. Because it's period. And I was in period shoes standing for, you know, 12 hours.
Yeah. I mean, as far as, like, you're not...
When it's not manual
easy,
labor.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not a skill set that is super demanding. But yeah, standing
physically,
on your feet for that
demanding.
Long, very demanding. Yeah. Yeah, and sometimes emotionally, the people you meet on those sets are just like...
It's very hit or miss. You can meet some of the best people.
Agreed. I've met amazing people.
Yeah, and then you can also meet some people who are like, you really want to stay away from.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I've had to get a guy kicked off set before, which I think I talked about on the show when he was being super creepy.
Yeah. Okay.
I've just been a single mother all week, and it's just, like, really hard.
It's been really difficult.
Being a single mom with two dogs and working and having to do all the things.
Well, I can see that we have one of the same things.
Okay.
So let's talk about that first.
Yes, Katie Hill.
Yes. Katie Hill is a representative from California.
Yep.
She resigned recently after a right-wing publication called Red State released an expose that detailed what appeared to be a seemingly consensual relationship.
That's what I've heard. It was a consensual relationship between her and a campaign staffer.
Right, and her husband. So I believe that Katie Hill is bisexual.
Yeah.
I think she was out as bisexual. But she was
out.
Married to a man, and the two of them engaged in a consensual sexual relationship with a 22-year-old staffer.
Yeah.
Now, I want to say right off of the top that I don't think it's a good idea engage in sexual relationships with your staffers. I think the power dynamic there is really fucked up.
That's what I was going to say. The ages, too, there's something like... She is an adult, the other woman, and, you know, she can consent. But like you said, there is something about a power dynamic with the age and the position that she's in and her husband's in compared to the position that the staffer is in.
Right. So I would say
makes it complicated.
In that regard, it is poor judgment at best.
Mm-hmm.
And
she did apologize for it.
And I would be saying the same thing if this was a man who had had sex with his staffer.
I think it is very
questionable behavior that you should not engage in. However, the way that this has been treated in the media and specifically in this expose that outed her and also leaked a lot of nude photographs of her, it seems as if they're focusing primarily on shaming her, sex shaming her, slut shaming her.
It's very gross.
Rather than actually focusing on her misconduct, which is the problem.
And she believes that it's her, she's getting divorced from that man, and she believes that it was him who leaked the photos to the Red State website. And apparently, he's claiming to his parents, who made a statement for him, that he was hacked.
Okay, bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I just call bullshit. Like, you were hacked, and this is the one thing that they pulled up and leaked out. I just have a hard time believing that.
Yeah, and she said that, you know, this was the forces of revenge by a bitter, jealous man, and talks about how he was very abusive to her. And I really feel for her, because after these photos leaked, she said she just became very isolated and went to this really, really dark place in her mind and was terrified of facing people she believes she let down.
Well, there's a reason why revenge porn is a felony in certain areas,
not everywhere.
And
that's what he's
trying
to get out of by saying he was hacked.
Right. It is illegal in a lot of places. It is illegal in California,
mm-hmm.
Although the consequences for it aren't necessarily super strict or strong.
Yeah.
But it's difficult. And I saw somebody on Twitter who was talking about this, and they were saying that almost every woman I know, including myself, has sent their partner, like, nude photographs.
Yeah.
And it's it's part of, as this like landscape has evolved, mm-hmm. the technological landscape, the relationship landscape in the 21st century has evolved, it is simply part of the currency of modern relationships.
I feel like that even would happen like back in the day with Polaroids or sure. like, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, now it's so much more prevalent. Right. Like, it is just going to be something that can be sent, and it can be sent easily, at least with a Polaroid. It would be a matter of getting that picture back, right? Yeah. It's not like that person could digitally send it to all their friends yeah. or anything like that, or leak it on the internet.
Definitely.
And so as this kind of thing becomes more prevalent, we need to stop putting the focus on the person whose photos got leaked, and we need to put the focus on the people who were leaking the photos.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. I never looked at the photos whenever there was that huge leak of all these celebrities.
Yeah.
I don't care that they're celebrities. I don't care that they voluntarily have shown their bodies on, you know, yeah. movies and TV shows before, because to me, the lack of consent there is the real problem. Like, these yeah. are private photos that were shared privately, and yeah. we need to completely start shaming the people who are sharing these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
because they could have written this article highlighting the fact that it was inappropriate for her to have this relationship with this staffer without going into such, like, lurid detail yeah. about her sexual exploits. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Well, and this caused her to step down from her position. On Thursday, she joined her fellow Democrats and voted in support of Trump's impeachment. And she says that she left her position because of a double standard and the misogynistic culture that consumed her naked photographs. She also says that this enabled her abusive ex to continue his abuse. She even goes on to refer to Trump when she says, yet a man who brags about his sexual predation, who has had dozens of women come forward and accuse him of sexual assault, who pushes policies that are uniquely harmful to women, and who has filled the courts with judges who proudly rule to deprive women of the fundamental right to control their own bodies, sits in the highest office of the land.
I think...
How do you feel about her stepping down?
I think it's... I don't know. This whole situation is very tricky, because I think the reason why she's stepping down is bullshit. I think she's stepping down because this is revenge porn, and like, she's stepping down because she's been shamed sexually.
That's how I feel about it.
That's what's upsetting
too. If she was stepping down because of the relationship with the staffer, I feel like that would have been...
Right. It'd be different.
Different.
And, you know, I think we've made it very clear that, like, I don't think that this was a good idea for her to have this relationship right. with the staffer. However, she does hit on an important point, which is that there are men doing this all the time who are yeah. allowed to, you know, hold on to their positions. For instance, California Representative Duncan Hunter is alleged to have had numerous affairs in recent years, including with a number of his staff members. The aide of another Republican member of Congress and several lobbyists, and these romantic and, well, I don't want to say the word romantic, but these sexual relationships came to light when the Justice Department actually charged Hunter with illegally using campaign funds Ooh. To pay for everything from his vacations to his drinking habits, and they found that he had spent thousands on to finance his affairs from his campaign funds. And yet, despite all of these things, even though his federal trial will begin in January, mm-hmm. he remains in office.
Right.
So he wasn't shamed into resigning. And yeah. Katie Hill, I mean, you could argue that she could have fought this and not resigned, but it yeah. would have been very difficult for her.
Yeah, she's saying the forces of revenge by a bitter, jealous man have forced her out of her position. But I feel like, honestly, if you feel this strongly against this situation and the fact that there is such a prevalence of revenge porn, I feel like you staying in office is really the best way to fight it.
Right. You could have spun this for sure. And you could have had a lot of people supporting and behind you
yeah.
in this regard. I mean, I think, I don't know. The whole thing is absolutely like kind of fraught and tricky
yeah.
and multifaceted and multi-sided.
I just think if that's the reason that she's leaving and not because of the affair with a staffer,
right,
then I believe that she should be staying in office. And I believe, you know, there are, like you were just talking about that guy who's being brought to court for using his campaign money for his affairs and things like that. it doesn't seem like people are really focusing on that right now. Maybe they are, and I just wasn't focusing on that.
Oh, no. I didn't know about it. I've only ever heard it in relation to Katie Hill.
Right?
I've only ever heard it in relation to Katie Hill. It was not something that made the news. And that's the thing, is like, these affairs are, one, always more salacious when it's a woman, and two, made all the more salacious by the fact that people are able to view these photos without the consent of the injured party, which is the problem. It's like, we don't hear about every single time a man in office. It's actually a trope. It's actually something that we, as a country, almost deem to be kind of funny, that like, politicians are going to be philanderers, and they're going to have affairs, and they're going to be womanizers, and like, that's just something that is to be expected. But when a woman is a sexual being, especially if you can see photos of her being sexual, then all of a sudden it's scandal. Like, it's such a scandal. And I know there were also pictures of her with a bong, but it's like, we're in California.
Yeah.
Weed is legal here for recreational use. So I feel like it's all of these really archaic, pearl-clutchy ideas of, like, she's bisexual, she's naked, she's having a threesome, and she's smoking weed. And, like, we're all supposed to be aghast at that, you know?
I just wish she would have stayed and taken the high road and fought against the things that she's being oppressed by.
I agree. But, you know, I also can't speak to how this affects her, because I know that whenever I've had friends who have had revenge porn situations happen to them, and it is incredibly violating and isolating, and I can't say how I would handle it. I would like to think that I would be so justice-oriented that I would want to seek justice for the situation and not be ashamed of who I am and what I've done, but I can't say that that would be the case, necessarily.
Yeah, it is a person-to-person thing. It's wishful thinking, I guess, on my part.
Ideally, I agree with you. Yeah. Like, ideally, I wish that that could have been the thing that happened. Okay, so the other thing that I have to talk about is also kind of shitty.
Great.
Harvey Weinstein has made a public appearance recently. Did you not hear about this?
Mm-mm.
Oh, shit. Yeah. He is back. He is back in the public eye, kind of acting like everything is normal or okay. So he showed up at a event called Actors Hour at this place called Downtime Bar recently. It's a Lower East Side bar in New York. And there was a female comedian whose name was Kelly Bachman, and she was actually booed off the stage. You can watch the video, because, you know, of course, she and several other women there specifically felt very violated that Harvey Weinstein was just sitting at a corner booth surrounded by people. There were actually, in the picture, there were actually women sitting next to him. He had a whole number of, like, an entourage.
Right, so they would call him out, right?
So she called him out on stage.
Got it.
She was like, are we going to address this? Like, great to have a rapist here. Like, she was, like, calling him out on stage.
Yeah.
And you can hear people, like, booing her, which, what the fuck? Like, when did we get to this place? It reminds me very much of, like, when Louis C.K. made his return.
Yes.
And people, I feel like there's this weird thing where when the person is actually in the room, people don't want to talk shit or be, like, mean to them? Mean to sexual predators? I don't know. So the Actors Hour is a space that specifically is to help uplift young actors.
Okay.
In a place where they make themselves vulnerable at these events. And so for them, it was especially violating since those are the kinds of people that Harvey Weinstein kind of preyed
on. Yeah.
Yeah. So after Kelly Bachman was booed and got off the stage, there was another person named Zoe Stuckless, and they use they, them pronouns. So I'm going to refer that way throughout the rest of this. So they confronted him to his face, and they were asked to leave the venue after this.
For confronting him?
Yes. And there's
Jesus Christ.
Let me find it. They actually confronted him, and someone got it on video.
Yeah.
And when they go up to him, they say, tell me, what's your name? And Weinstein kind of just placed his elbows on the table while another man sitting next to him started speaking to Zoe Stuckless.
Yeah.
And they said the man accompanying Weinstein told them that it was none of their business who that was. And they turned to the crowd and they started yelling, like, nobody's going to say anything. Nobody, like, nobody's going to say anything. We're just going to act like this is completely normal and fine. Yeah. And they continued pointing a finger towards Weinstein. And Steklis was then asked to leave the venue. They said, I'll get out of here. That's fine. I am happy to leave, but nobody is going to say anything. I'm going to stand 4 feet from a fucking rapist and nobody is going to say anything.
Yeah, why aren't they kicking Harvey out?
You would think. I mean, and actually the people who there's Zoe Steklis and then there's actually another woman who was escorted out of the building, and both people were escorted out by members of Harvey Weinstein's entourage.
Gross.
Not by... like, the staff.
I'd be like, don't fucking touch me. I'll leave by myself.
Right.
Bye.
Yeah, not by the staff of the event or by the venue itself.
Right.
Which makes me feel like
that's so gross.
He must have paid money to them, because why else would any venue allow patrons to escort other patrons out of the building?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, so... Steklis was ushered out of the room by a man and woman, and the man that was ushering them out of the room was presumably a member of Harvey Weinstein's entourage, and he kept saying, repeating over and over, due process, which is really frustrating to me, because what he's implying there is that nobody should be critical of Harvey Weinstein because he hasn't had his day in court yet.
Right.
But here's the thing. That doesn't mean you're free from social and public consequences.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there are still social and public consequences, and people are allowed to have their opinions about that. And we as a society are allowed to make a decision about
how
what is acceptable.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And how we respond to that doesn't mean that, like, you can just come into any space and be safe. And the bar actually released a statement because they were getting a lot of heat, as was Actors Hour. If you find Actors Hour on Facebook, it's like their reviews have been like destroyed. The bar initially refused to respond to any request for comment, but then they put on Facebook that Steklis was a heckler. They said, shortly into the evening, one guest began heckling another, causing a disturbance to everyone in attendance. After several requests to stop were ignored, we kindly asked the heckler to leave. So moments after Steklis confronted Weinstein, so did Amber Rollo, who was a 31-year-old comedian, and she had attended the show to support Bachman, the woman who actually got on stage.
Yeah.
And...
wait, so who's saying that they removed the heckler?
The bar is.
But they didn't remove the heckler.
According to Steklis, it was one of his entourage that did it.
Okay, because that's where I was confused, because I was like, well, but it wasn't the bar.
But I don't think the bar staff would want to admit that.
Oh, totally. You know what I mean? They totally wouldn't, but I'm just saying that's such a shady way of going about it.
And so it is a little unclear, but according to them, it was somebody who was with Weinstein.
Yeah.
Because, and I actually believe that, because of the fact that the guy kept saying due process. Like, who working at a bar would go out of their way to defend Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah.
So shortly after Steklis was removed, Amber Rollo stood up and she said, she's right. She went up to Weinstein and she said, she's right. You're a fucking monster. What are you doing here? Fuck you. And at that point, one of the men accompanying Weinstein called her a cunt.
Fun.
And another woman at the table, at Weinstein's table, guided her outside.
Oh, fun.
So once again, you have people in Weinstein's entourage who are being allowed to decide who gets to stay and who gets to leave.
Yeah.
So it's everyone who was critical of a fucking rapist got kicked out of this bar.
But the
this
rapist
event.
Was safe.
But the rapist was safe.
Great. This is making me feel like things are going really, really well.
Yeah, and so Rollo ended up saying, I'm a rape survivor myself. I thought that everyone agreed that Weinstein was a bad person. Other people are questionable. He's the worst of the worst. I thought we all knew that.
Yeah.
And it is frustrating because it is one of those things where anytime I feel like, okay, we're all on the same page. Like a couple years ago after Me Too, after this Weinstein thing, after Time's Up, I was like, okay, we are all in agreement that this guy's a fucking piece of shit monster who's never going to be allowed back into society.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes only a couple of years, I guess, for us to be like, was it that bad? It's probably fine.
Yeah.
And like, it's really fucked up. And it's really fucked up that this event and this bar allowed him to be present at a place specifically where young actresses, comedians, actors go to allow themselves to be vulnerable on stage.
Yeah.
Because that's hard enough to do
yeah.
as a performer.
Like, and then having Harvey Weinstein in the audience would be
yeah.
a disaster.
Totally.
Jesus. I just wanted to talk briefly about Trump's speech after Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi was killed.
Oh.
The leader of ISIS.
Oh, yes.
I watched a really funny Jimmy Kimmel monologue where he talks about it and then he, like, compares Obama's speech after Osama bin Laden and Trump's speech. And the thing that was funniest about it to me was that he was, like, he was whimpering and crying before he died. And he died like a dog. He died like a dog. It was his whole thing. And, like, painted him as this coward. And Trump said he spent his last moments in utter fear, in total panic and dread, terrified of the American forces bearing down on him. He died like a dog. The world is now a much safer place, he added. So somebody in the audience was like, how do you know what he did before he died? And, like, like, how are you aware of what it was like? And he was like, oh, I've heard that he was just whimpering and crying and pleading
Which
us for...
also, Trump had nothing to do with this. Like,
yeah, and he says, he's like, and I won't get any of the credit, but I never get any of the credit. And like...
You shouldn't get any of the credit. You were golfing
yeah, exactly.
when it happened.
Exactly.
So it's not as though you were directly involved.
Yeah.
Like, when Osama bin Laden was captured, there are photographs of Obama in the Situation Room, like, as it's unfolding,
yeah.
being a president. Trump was golfing.
Yeah. Well, and Obama even says, too, like, I don't want the credit for this. It's the credit of these people who actually
right.
went through with it and yada, yada, yada.
But even then, I mean, he was doing his job. He was overseeing
yeah.
what was happening.
And he was being a gracious leader as well and being like, no, it's not about me. It's about all the people that, like, put their lives on the line to get this done.
It
you
is
know?
Truly appalling. Anytime I hear Trump speak, it's like, it's appalling to me that, like, this person isn't articulate enough to land a job interview at
no.
most corporate companies, let alone be leading our fucking country. Like, it honestly makes no sense to me. He's one of the most inarticulate individuals I've ever seen as a fully
yeah.
grown adult.
Uh-huh.
And to be honest, I feel like it has gotten worse since he became president.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where I'm like, legit, like, do you have some form of, like, senility or dementia or something
yeah.
because it's just
I think it's the power and the yes men around him that give him this like this state of mind that whatever he says and does is good and true
yeah.
so it gives him that like confidence to be able to just spout nonsense
I'm
shit.
Running out of like words I feel like I don't even know what a normal presidency looks like.
Yeah.
Or a normal administration anymore. I just feel like we are so far out. You know, I don't know.
Yep.
I can't make words.
Oh, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. But go watch the Jimmy Kimmel monologues. It's hilarious the way he compares it. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
We're living in a hellscape. Well, anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode
mm-hmm.
of What's in the News. It's a kind of a shorter episode, but both of us are kind of rolling on empty right now,
yes,
skating on fumes. But if you would like to leave us a comment or if you would like to reach out to us and submit any Sister Solidarity stories
mm-hmm.
or episode suggestions, please do so at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. You can also direct message us or reach out to us on our Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We are also on Twitter at YANF Podcast,
YANF
Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook. We have a business and a group page. Feel free to reach out to us on the group page or leave us a review on our business page. You can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We love getting new reviews from you, and it does help us out
mm-hmm.
quite a bit. You can also listen on Radio Public, as we like to say.
Yes.
It is free for you, and it helps us out a little bit.
Yes, it does.
So, I think that's everything.
That is everything, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to another episode. With all that being said, we encourage you to
rage on.
Bye.